This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are coming to you live from the State Fair in the Ag Tent, but since it's Friday, we still want to commit to our new end-of-week routines, including our reporter roundtable. And today, we are staying with our State Fair theme, focusing on agriculture and politics, since both Illinois Democrats and Republicans will be having events at and around the fair. Steve Bridge is here. He's the Agribusiness Director for WFMB AM and FM. He joins me here live in the Ag Tent on the fairgrounds. Steve, welcome to the 21st Show.
Great to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Brendan Moore, Illinois Government and Politics Reporter for Lee Enterprises Newspapers, which includes the Herald and Review in Decatur, the Pantograph in Bloomington, the Quad City Times, other papers. Brendan joins us now via Zoom. Brendan, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well. Thanks for being here again.
Yeah, glad to be back on, Brian.
And listeners, you can always join us at 800-222-9455 or email talk@21stshow.org. All right, Brendan, I want to start with you because there was some breaking state government news this morning. The Illinois Supreme Court upheld the ban on the future sale and ownership of what the law defines as assault weapons. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Brian, so as you said, the state Supreme Court basically reversed a lower court ruling that would have prevented the state assault weapons ban from going into effect. Basically said that it does not violate the state constitution's equal protection clause or special legislation clause. And this kind of helps clear the deck at the state level for the assault weapons ban. However, it should be pointed out that there's still a federal case, a consolidated federal case that is going through the courts right now that would address the larger question over whether the ban violates the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So while this is certainly a win for Governor Pritzker and his allies in the legislature that approved this ban back in January, it is just, again, another step in the process. Notably, this ruling did not address those Second Amendment questions. It was explicitly said in the ruling. So we still have a long way to go regarding the litigating of this law.
Yeah, so that is something we're going to have to continue to watch for. I will advise listeners to check in with your local public radio station to keep up with the latest on this developing story later today. Steve Bridge, I want to bring you into the conversation now. And just big picture, what are some of the things that farmers are keeping an eye on this year, this particular season?
Statewide, Brian, one of the substantial issues is surrounding renewable energy and how it impacts land owners and land use across the state. So a year ago, a renewable energy bill, a substantial one, was passed, but it didn't include provisions to follow up on what they call ag mitigation impacts. So if you drag a pipeline through a farm field, but you slice in half someone's drainage tile, that's a problem. If you site a wind turbine and you do the same thing, or you bring a big piece of machinery in and compact the soil so it doesn't grow as much of a crop as it would have before because it's been altered in some state. There's a lot of concern about an ag mitigation trailer bill that was passed but may not be signed by the governor in the next few days because of issues surrounding Ameren and their right to refusal on projects. That's a big issue right now, and that just encompasses a lot of how people are feeling about general private property rights. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, in fact, is going to be at a big solar farm south of Springfield today, and those solar farms and a very particular carbon sequestration pipeline have really turned a lot of farmers and landowners upside down in the last year or so about their right to be where they are and about the right of someone to be able to do that to their property with someone else being able to say you should or shouldn't do that.
So farmers don't necessarily have a pure right of refusal if a project is going through. Like, you can't have one farmer standing in the way of a pipeline necessarily.
Well, and that becomes the question of intimate domain and how that plays for a big public works project.
Yeah.
And then there is also the issue in this carbon question about taking that CO2 and then injecting it someplace underground. Now, does it just get injected underneath the drill site? Not necessarily. It's going to span out and go all over the place. And you own a field next to the field that somebody else is going to place a well, but that carbon's going to be under your field. Do you have the right, Brian, to say yes or no? And in Indiana, I believe the threshold is about 75% of the landowners under, above a sequestration field would need to give the approval. And so there's discussions ongoing in Illinois about what percentage of landowners need to agree to the sequestration field, who can stand in the way of a pipeline being brought across their field, and who's got the right to say, that's really good farmland. I don't think you should put 80 acres of solar panels there.
Yeah. What about weather? We just this morning had to traverse monsoon rains to get to where we are at the fairgrounds. How is that affecting the harvest outlook here in Illinois?
If this conversation would have been had June 28th before the derecho moved across a big portion of central Illinois and left a little bit of rain but not enough, it would have been a totally different conversation. End of June, there were worries about even substantial whole loss fields for corn. Wasn't going to pollinate, was going to be way too dry. And since that date, since about June 28th, June 29th, we've gotten, most people have picked up 5, 6, 7, 8 inches of rain, maybe even too much in places. So the weather picture has turned around substantially in the last 30, 45 days. And for most people, it looks like it's going to be a really good crop. Again, not perfect, but enough rain, and we haven't had any real severe heat to impact both corn and soybean yields.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're doing our regular Friday roundtable live from the Ag Tent at the Illinois State Fair. We're talking with Steve Bridge, who's Agribusiness Director at WFMB AM and FM in Springfield. Also, Brendan Moore covers Illinois government and politics for Lee Enterprises newspapers, which has outlets in Decatur, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, and St. Louis, and points beyond. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation, or email talk@21stshow.org. All right, Brendan, let's turn to politics now. And with the state fair, Democrats get to have Governor's Day. They have had some really high-profile guest speakers at a breakfast they have around the time of the state fair. I've seen Pete Buttigieg, although that was before he was a national figure. Then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi came through. What do the Democrats have planned this year, Brendan?
So the big speaker this year at the Democrats' annual brunch, which, as you noted to Brian, is their big event every year and kind of the unofficial kickoff to Democrat Day at the state fair. This year is Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, who is from Nevada. She was just reelected by a very tight margin. Was considered to be on the short list for vice presidential consideration in 2020. She is kind of viewed as having some star power. So she's going to address Democrats at the brunch and is presumably going to. Offer a national perspective on issues to the various activists and elected officials and organizers who are going to be gathered in Springfield next week.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't feel like this is a really hot political year, right? There's no statewide elections next year. Neither Senator Durbin nor Senator Duckworth are up for re-election for a few more years. There is a little action on the Republican side, though, Brendan, and Republican Day is Thursday. What are you expecting from that day?
You're absolutely right, Brian, that this year it's kind of hard to find some storylines because there's not a lot of action happening next year at the state level in Illinois. However, as you said, there is a little bit on the Republican side. There's a hot primary in southern Illinois between incumbent Mike Bost and former gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey. So they're going to be facing off in the Republican primary in the 12th Congressional District.
Two Trump allies in the past, at least, right?
Right. And quite frankly, pretty similar ideologically. Both support President Trump and probably would vote pretty similarly. So not a lot of distinction in terms of policy. But there is maybe a clash of personalities, if you will. We thought there might be a clash next week at Republican Day. Bailey is expected to show up. However, we learned just this week that Mike Bost probably will not be there because he has a fundraiser scheduled down in the Metro East area with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Obviously, Washington, D.C. Republicans are heavily backing Bost as an incumbent in this race. So he's going to be down fundraising that day, which kind of avoids a potential confrontation at the fairgrounds, which, you know, could have made things a little bit more interesting on what otherwise is looking like a pretty uneventful fair for politics.
Well, I hope you bring sunscreen and find a shady spot to listen to. I think Darren Bailey's speech kind of writes itself if Congressman Bost is going to be with the speaker elsewhere. Let's stay with politics and government, Steve, because a lot of farmers are keeping an eye on the federal farm bill.
Indeed.
This year, which is up for renewal. What are you hearing from Illinois farmers about what they want to get out of that process?
Okay, do no harm to crop insurance is the motto of farmers across the state. The story is, though, is who wants to do harm either to the farm bill process, and maybe even one of the 12 titles of the farm bill and how that impacts what's going to happen. Fingers crossed by the end of September, really needs to happen by the end of December, or a farm bill extension through an election year. Quick numbers, 80% of the farm bill spending is about the nutrition title. Most of it goes to supplemental nutrition programs or SNAP. Not as much goes to crop insurance and conservation efforts on behalf. 260 members of Congress have never voted on a farm bill that are now in the houses of Congress. And Mike Bost, and Darren Bailey will fight that out, but a congressional name in the South is Mary Miller. Mary Miller is a member of the Freedom Caucus, and the Freedom Caucus itself is a Republican right wing to that party, has been maybe not so friendly to the farm bill in the past. They derailed the initial vote in 2018, and so there's this, that's the political concern, is the far right side of Speaker McCarthy's caucus in the House of Representatives. They don't seem willing to vote for what most people would consider a normal farm bill. So will enough Democrats come on side with McCarthy and pass a bipartisan farm bill from the House and give it to the Senate? If that doesn't happen, a much more moderate position in the Senate, can they get their work done and force a traditional farm bill, in air quotes, back to the House for its passage?
You know, that's such a good point, because I think people look at a map of the United States and they see the red areas. Mm-hmm. They overlap with the rural farming areas and they think, well, it should be easy, right? But there's really this clash of cultures that's come up, maybe even going back to the Tea Party, right?
Yeah, so I think it was about 2012, 2013, a man who's now on the House Ag Committee, Frank Lucas, used to be the chairman of the House Ag Committee. He's a Republican from Oklahoma. Lucas was kind of the first person to lose a farm bill vote on the floor of Congress in an awful long time. The farm bill was derailed again 5 years after that. It had kind of quieted down, and now it's an issue again. And one of the key parts of that is that the nutritional program, you've got to give a reason for, they say, Bobby Rush, who used to be on the House Ag Committee, but is no longer from Chicago, because he's not a congressman, right? But you've got to give Bobby Rush a reason to vote for the farm bill, and you've got to give Mike Bost a reason to vote for the farm bill. One of those is a farm program. One of those is supplemental nutrition programs that help out people in both rural and urban areas. But it was a way to get those two disparate people together. And some people want to try, and it's not going to happen, but some people want to try to take that nutrition program out of the farm bill voting and just make it a farm program. And if you do that, then you don't have the red and blue connecting, Brian. Yeah. You don't have those interests
coming together.
The farm
is the land area, but it's not where the most people are.
It's not where the voters are,
yeah,
right? Land doesn't vote.
Exactly.
Land just turns a color on an election map.
Yeah. All right. We are running short on time. We've only got about 3 minutes left in our conversation. We're at the fair. Let's do a little fair talk. Brendan, yesterday you were at the ribbon cutting for the fair. You had a little back and forth with Governor Pritzker about condiments on hot dogs, specifically Chicago-style dogs and corn dogs. Tell us about this hard-hitting interrogation you had with Governor Pritzker.
Yeah, it was some very serious questioning, Brian. So some backstory. Last year, I tweeted a picture of myself holding up a corn dog with ketchup on it, and didn't sit well with a lot of the mustard-loving crowd. It's apparently the Chicago rule about no ketchup on a hot dog also extends to a corn dog. So I've been given a little bit of grief about that. The governor brought it up the other day, you know, basically saying who puts ketchup on a hot dog or on a corn dog. He confirmed that he's a mustard person on a corn dog, which again is his right. They put out ketchup and mustard for a reason. But yeah, he confirmed he's on team mustard.
Yeah, you know, once again, Chicago Democrats trying to impose their will on the rest of Illinois. I'm just going to say I'm fine with ketchup on hot dogs. It might even be my preference in corn dogs. Our engineer Jason is shaking his head.
A corn dog and a hot dog aren't even the same thing, really, though.
I know.
I agree.
We're south of I-80. Steve, what is your, we've got about 90 seconds, favorite thing to do at the fair? What do you have, a must-do list ever?
I love the people. The people make the fair. Walking around here to your show, stopping and talking to people, trying to tell them I'm on a time crunch because I got to go see somebody. The people at the Illinois State Fair make this event what it is. Food certainly goes a long way too, but it's the opportunity to see people you see once a year, once every couple of months around town. It's a big party, and it's a whole lot of fun for 11 days in town.
Yeah. Brennan, what about you? You have any must-dos on the fair?
Oh, my gosh, the food. I mean, the food is the best part of the fair, in my humble opinion. Got to go get a Vo's corn dog, get some Culler's French fries with some vinegar, get a lemon shake up. The calorie count just kind of goes out the window.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to tell listeners, stay tuned, because we do try some food later on in our next segment, where we are going to walk around the fair and talk to some of the many people here that Steve was just talking about. Steve Bridge is Agribusiness Director at WFMB AM and FM. Steve, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brennan Moore covers Illinois government and politics for Lee Enterprises, which has the Herald and Review and Decatur, the Pantograph and Bloomington, Quad City Times, and other papers. Brennan, thanks so much for making time to be with us via Zoom today on the 21st show.
Always happy to be on, Brian.
And that is the end of the live portion of our show. When we come back, you're going to hear a segment we recorded yesterday, walking around the fair, talking to people. I'm just going to give you a couple of teasers. We eat Asian carp. We pet a horse. We ride the giant slide. Stay tuned.